I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We're celebrating 23 years in business this month and just entering our 10th year of doing open line programs. We have a few new exciting changes. Just in the next few days, we're going to be launching our brand new website, which we're very excited about. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab. We've covered so many different topics during the last 10 years, so if you have something coming up in your business, you can pretty much find it in our archival system. Plus, our second book, Cracking the Business Code, continues to be a top seller. It's available on Amazon, or you can click on our book icons on our homepage. Our topic today is the Millennial Challenge, why they won't buy what you're selling. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, then we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, team building, stress management workshops, and much more. We have an office in Taiwan, so if you have an operation in Asia and would like to get leadership coaching for them or providing ideas of how to interact with a U.S.-based company, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track Open Line series is always in response to the calls we get from both clients domestically and globally to address the various issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion. We'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible, so please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. So write down a couple of questions you may want to ask either during the program or afterwards, but either way, we'll get those questions answered. Our special guest with us today is Patrick McClure, master sales coach and expert in selling across generations for over the past 30 years. And by the way, Patrick's a very close friend, has helped us in crafting our sales program, along with helping many of our clients, and he is the best of the best. Patrick has trained salespeople and managers to drive breakthrough sales results using innovative and practical techniques. He has a knack for reducing the most complex problems to utter simplicity and showing his audience exactly how to start winning new clients. During his corporate career, Patrick sold over $250 million worth of products and services at corporate giants such as IBM, Hitachi Data Systems, EDS, and Digital Equipment. He is a black belt master at selling complex business solutions to C-level executives, and today he will share his secrets with small companies hoping to crack into the Fortune 1000 world. As the author of three books on selling, Patrick passionately and patiently serves up his wisdom to readers, clients, and audiences through his consulting firm, the Connexus Group. He caters to both small and large firms seeking to close more business, which everybody's goal is, and that's on attending our program today. I feel privileged to have Pat with us again today to share his ideas that will help each of us preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be social media for recruiting, and Barry Deutsch will be our guest. We usually get a capacity audience for that program, so please sign up early. Pat, welcome back to Open Line. It's so wonderful to have you on our program again.
Thanks so much, Dana. I'm just delighted to be here, and I appreciate that sterling introduction. I'll try and live up to the promise that you've offered. I'm interested. I'm very fascinated with this topic. I have been working for, oh golly, at least 3 years researching into millennials. Those are the people that are under the age of 35. that are rapidly taking over leadership positions in business and in entertainment and in many other industries. And so I've been looking at exactly how do we manage them, how do we lead them, and more specifically, I've been looking as a sales executive and a sales coach, how do we sell to them? And that was the reason why I started down this road about 3 years ago, assembled a focus group of millennials, wrote a white paper back in March, and started speaking and writing on this topic, and I really did not know that it was going to be this interesting and this relevant to people, but I keep getting speaking requests and writing requests and that sort of thing. So I'm very excited to be here with you today, Dana, and looking forward to a great presentation.
This will be wonderful. Thanks again.
You want me to just move forward? Okay.
Yep, that would be great.
All right. So let's move forward with our first slide here. Let's talk about the challenges that salespeople are dealing with. All of you are either salespeople or you have sales organizations that you're dealing with, and I didn't want to go forward too. There you go. So today's sales, there's about five areas that I have observed with my clients, and those are listed in front of you. The information overload, untrained salespeople, selling across generations, difficulty getting appointments, and a lack of branding. So I'm going to speak briefly about each of these. Information overload. In case you haven't noticed it, most people are buried under email. Most people are buried under voicemail. You may not know this, but about 38% of voicemails are never even listened to. And out of the ones that are not just automatically deleted, people are listening for sound bites that really get their attention. They're doing the same thing when they're scanning through. The average executive gets about 150 emails a day. They're scanning through, if they do it themselves, sometimes they just have their assistant or their secretary go through. They're scanning through the titles that they would like to spend their time on. People's time is incredibly valuable. And unfortunately, the typical executive that we're trying to get in front of is absolutely buried with work and with input. And so it's actually information overload, and people actually go home just exhausted by the volume of information that's coming to them. So that's a challenge if you're a salesperson. How do we get mind share? How do we get meetings? That gets to untrained salespeople. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but if you have salespeople in your force that are untrained, it's three times worse than you really thought. An untrained salespeople will lose business that could have been closed. An untrained salesperson will actually drive away potential people that could have been talked to. And an untrained salesperson, it takes them about 3 months to hire them, and then you have to watch them from about 3 months. And so if you hire somebody and they're untrained, it can lose you 6 months of productivity. So I always tell people, untrained salespeople are the death of an organization. And so you absolutely have to pay attention to that.
Patrick, a question just came in.
Sure.
When recruiting a salesperson, how do you know if they're trained or not?
Oh, you ask them in the profile. And on the way, here's a shameless plug for your company, Dana. In most companies, when I'm hiring sales executives, particularly sales management, I get them profiled. I get them tested by LCS, and that really helps. And also, when you're interviewing them, you have to ask them what courses that they've been trained in, whether they've learned on their own or whether they've been trained, whether they've interned, what courses they've taken. And you can, in your profile when you're interviewing them, you should ask those questions. So,
great. Thank you.
That tells you the assessment. Selling across generations is a third challenge because, and I'll cover this in the next slide in more detail, but we've got three generations that you're selling into. And each of those generations has a difficulty understanding the other generation. So if you're a baby boomer, a Gen Xer, you have to really work at how do we sell to millennials? And it works the other way. The millennials are confused about, well, how do these baby boomers make decisions? And so selling across generations is really relevant to anybody that's in sales. The fourth thing there is difficulty getting appointments. And that relates to the first point. We're in an information overload environment, and it's getting more and more difficult to get appointments. As I said, Dana asked me before we started this, the biggest changes that have happened in sales in the last 10 years. Well, in 2007 and 2008, when we had the big implode in the economy, and we suddenly had less buyers, and it became more and more important to develop strategies to get appointments. And if you're overly dependent just on one strategy, like the phone or email or texting, you're missing the boat, because there's at least a dozen other ways to get appointments, and salespeople should be trained on how to do that. The final point, which is a challenge today, is branding and unique value. Unique value, or your unique selling propositions, is a common thread that unites all of the generations. People will always buy value. The question is, how is your company branded, and how well do you communicate and articulate your unique value in a compelling manner so that people will buy? So those are the five major challenges that salespeople are dealing with today. And let's now talk about the three major generations. You should see on your slide baby boomers, Gen X, and millennials. Those are the three major generations that are in the workforce today. Now, your baby boomers, they were born between 1946 and 64. They're between age 52 to 70. Your Gen X, which was the one after the baby boomers, they're the children of the baby boomers, they were born in 65 to 81, and they're about 35 to 51. And now the millennials, they were born from 82 to 2000 and plus. They're age 34 or younger. There's actually another generation that's emerging, which is the children of the millennials. They're kind of being viewed as Gen Z. They're right now not entering business, but they might be a play in business to consumer, B2C sales. But right now they're not really a major force. Your names of your generations are there. Your key traits are there. I'm going to be focusing during this presentation just on the millennials, but I'll be also referring to the other generations. Your millennials are the digital natives. They grew up with technology. They grew up on cyberspace. They grew up connected. They're very connected. They're very dedicated to global issues and global causes. And I'll go into more reasons why, but basically they have, from a very early age, been connected to people globally, and they've learned a lot. The screen of choice, if you take a look at that, the baby boomers, I'm a baby boomer, the baby boomers grew up with the television. That was their screen of choice. Your Gen Xers, the next generation, they grew up with a computer. So their screen was the computer. The millennials grew up with a cell phone, iPhone, whatever. And so their small screen. Now, interestingly, each screen, as they got smaller, became more powerful. What we are capable of doing now from a cell phone is absolutely staggering. You can do virtually anything. And the career goals, as you see from the generations, changed. The baby boomers were really driven to succeed and acquire material goods. Your Gen Xers really looked at work-life balance. That's what drove them. And then the millennials now are seamlessly blending work and causes and leisure. You will see millennials in the coffee shop on their cell phones transacting business. And as soon as they hang up transacting business, they'll take a personal call and then they'll text. Millennials have the ability to seamlessly blend their personal life with their professional life and to do it from anywhere that they have access to a cell phone. They are unique in that capability. Other generations just never had that and probably never will. So those are the three generations that salespeople deal with in this world. And I'll move on to the next slide. Okay, so let's talk about sales triggers. Out of all those three generations, we're always interested when we're talking on a sales standpoint, how do we get somebody's attention? What are they going to pay attention to? And I call these things triggers. This is suddenly your attention shifts and all of a sudden you're looking at whatever the message is and you're going, that's interesting. And so with regard to appealing to millennials, these are the major triggers that you absolutely have to have built into your product or your service. Your product or service needs to be interesting. It needs to be innovative. It needs to be visible over the internet, easy to order, solve a problem, trendy or popular. Now, when we're talking about the generations and the millennial generations, some people come to mind. Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber, Jessica Alba, those are singers and actresses. Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, Adele, singer, Jennifer Lawrence, actress. All of these people are millennials. And they're creating companies such as Pinterest, Instagram, Dropbox, Airbnb, Facebook, Tumblr. So millennials are younger and they are technology driven. What does that say about your product? Your product needs to be interesting to that generation. It must also be innovative. You must be able to take your product or your service and innovate with it and say, how do we deliver this to the millennial generation? How do we make it more visible over the internet? How do we make our product easier to order? How can we make our company easier to do business with? What problem do we solve? How do we make our product or service trendy or popular? Now, I'll give you an example of this. Everybody's probably heard of Amazon Prime, including myself. My wife joined about a year ago. For about $100, you can sign up with Amazon, and you can have one-click ordering of anything in their catalog, and it'll be delivered the next day with no freight charge. This is absolutely staggering what they've come up with, and they've been wildly successful. There are, I don't know what the final count is, it's several million people that have signed up for Amazon Prime for $100 a year. It basically pays for itself just with what you save in the freight charge. But there we have a company that was able to create a product that was easy to order. They made it easy to order. It was affordable. It just delivers incredible value right at your doorstep. And it solves a problem. Well, the problem it solved, particularly with millennials tend to really would like to order online versus any other way of ordering. And so they developed a product and they branded it very, very well to target the younger people, the millennials and also the Gen Xers. And by the way, when I talk about the generations, I'm using wild generalities. I'm sure that you can find dozens of people that are millennials that won't share all of these traits. You can do the same thing with Gen X, and you can do the same thing with baby boomers. So what I'm talking about here is generalities. They will never apply 100% to everybody. So what we're doing is, from a marketing standpoint or a sales standpoint, we're looking at the mega trends that are going to be relevant to most of the people in that population. Another example of a product that just took off like wildfire is Uber. Uber gives you the ability to just order a phone or order a car over the phone and get people picked up and get people transported, and it's very, very simple. One of the other mega trends that happens with millennials is they are buying cars much later in life. They are settling down much later in life. So they are incredibly mobile. And the ability for them to go onto their screen of choice, which is the cell phone, and to just, with a couple of little keystrokes, order a car and have it arrive and pick them up and have it build automatically so they don't have to worry about the tip, is incredible product. And no wonder it took out like wildfire. So you can take a look at your environment. Again, you can take a look at dozens of examples of companies that have created innovative, interesting, easy-to-order products that appeal to the millennials, and they're taking off like a rocket. And so the question you have to ask for your company is, if we're not building these triggers into our product or service, when are we going to do that? And the answer should be about now. Okay.
I had read on the internet that you had predicted the success of Pokemon Go in March of this year, 3 months before it actually was released. Is that true, and how did you do that?
That is true. In my white paper, which is published in March, one of the points that I made in terms of sales strategies was you must create products that are innovative, interesting, and I actually wrote in there, you know, somebody's going to create a game that runs on a small screen that's going to engage everybody's attention, and they're going to figure out a way to make money out of it. And I actually stated that in my March white paper, and lo and behold, Pokemon Go was announced to the world actually in the U.S. on July the 2nd, and that was exactly what was created. It was a game. It was innovative. It was interesting. It was trendy. It caught on. It went viral, and all of a sudden, hundreds of people were downloading it and playing it. And the interesting thing is they commercialized it, because it turns out when you play Pokemon Go, it's really interesting and you get connected on it, but then in order to capture as many Pokemons and to win the games and the battles and all that, you have to pay money in order to get upgrades. And so the revenue stream from Pokemon Go has been phenomenal. And this is just the first of many games that are going to be appearing to do that. So that's an example. They actually took all of these sales triggers and they built them into a product. And it's been fantastic. So thanks for that, Dana. Good question. Okay, I'm going to move on to the next slide. And we're going to talk about product messages that appeal. So if we are targeting millennials, and this could be either way, if we're targeting millennials that are consumers, i.e. B2C, or if we're talking to millennials that are working for a company and we're selling to that business, which would be B2B, the product messaging, although it can change a little bit, it's still going to be relevant. Millennials are one of their distinguishing characteristics is they tend to be very committed to causes. And the causes, the types of causes that they grew up with, they learned about, are benefiting the environment, promoting education, medical, peace, tolerance. These are all the causes that they were raised with, that they were trained on, and that they were educated with. So they're very, very cause-based. There are others, but these are the ones that really are standing out as we look at them. Product messages, technically challenging, right? So what appeals to millennials is if you make it a little bit complex, a little bit complicated, a little bit hard to figure out. They are very, very smart. They're the most highly educated generation that we've seen. The average on the subject of education, they are much higher educated with universities. They have a much higher area, and I'll show you here coming up, but they're much, much more degreed than other generations. So they love a game, they love a challenge, and they're smart as a whip. They also would like to be doing something that is unique or trendy so that everybody else is doing it, and they also react to what is endorsed by my tribe. Now, we all belong to tribes, and one of the mega tribes that we're talking about here is the millennials, the Gen Xers, and the baby boomers. Everybody is in kind of a separate tribe, and the tribes have different mores. They have different cultural differences, and so within the tribe called millennials, they are very interested in what is the most popular. They are avid researchers, so they can go online and they can research virtually anything instantly, and they're very good at digging information out. They spend a lot of time on the internet, so they know what's popular. They know what's trendy, and they'll hop onto it. So, they're very, very, they will make decisions as a group, and as a group, when they suddenly find out that a product or a service has a million likes, they'll jump onto it. So unlike some of the other generations which valued being the rugged individualist and going off and making decisions on their own, in general, millennials will not do that. They will make decisions that everybody else in the tribe is making. So your challenge in messaging is to make sure that your product appeals to a wide group of people and then make it go viral. Okay. Moving on to the next area, the buyer's profile. Buyer's profile. So this is what your target market, if you're selling to millennials, this is what they are like. They never knew a world without the internet. They are college educated. 34% of them have a degree or higher, a BA degree or higher. This is a much higher percentage than Gen Xers or baby boomers. They love pictures, video, music, movies, games. They are very visually oriented. They like things that are moving. For instance, a baby boomer, my generation, most of us like to read books, big, thick books. Some of us are reading them online, but mostly it's thick books. We open them up. We look at them. We also do magazines. The next generation, the Gen X, they will look at magazines, and they will look at computer screens, and they will look at databases, and they will look at news sources over the internet. The millennials, when was the last time you ever saw a millennial with a big, thick book? Hardly ever. The millennial will look at information quickly, fast, sound burst over their cell phone. And they will interact, and they will suddenly research, and they'll pull up information, and they'll send it out to their friends and say, hey, what do you think? And they'll send pictures, and bang, bang. It all happens really, really fast, and the research and the sound bites are really fast. They are much more prone to watching videos or movies to learn about something than to read a book. They love pictures, video, music, all of that. The millennial depends upon social media interaction and texting. So when they want information, they will text people around the world. I have two nieces, both of them millennials. One of them graduated from UCLA, and she's now over in Africa in the Peace Corps. Her sister was at the graduation. We were there. During the graduation from UCLA, they were texting live pictures and video feed to each other, and her other sister was in Africa at a hotspot. And so you had two sisters, one in at UCLA, one in Africa, sending information back and forth. And not only that, other people were participating in the conversation. It was a live broadcast. This is very, very common for millennials. They are connected. They're sending information. They're sending videos. So it's very interesting and useful if you're designing a marketing campaign to understand that. Millennials can be challenged by face-to-face conversation or phone. I have a client that is in the real estate business, and they do a lot of work over the phone or texting or via email. And I actually have people that are challenged by using the phone. They would rather not pick up the phone and call anybody. They prefer to send a text. They would rather prefer to send a text across the office building instead of getting up and going over and talking to somebody. And they tend to be challenged by face-to-face communication. I actually have training programs with millennials that showcase, how do you talk to somebody? How do you look somebody in the eye, communicate, and get feedback from them? And how do you do that live versus just sending text with emoticons? So it's quite a challenge for people, for millennials, if they grew up in an environment that did not encourage face-to-face communication. Many millennials are living at home. They have massive debts. They are highly educated. They have a lot of debts that they're working through. So that's a challenge. They tend to marry later. Millennials tend to marry much later. Matter of fact, the average age for a millennial to marry is age 28. Among baby boomers, my generation, the marriage age between 18 and 32, 48% of us were married. The next generation, 36% of us were married. And the Gen Y, or the millennials, only 26% are married between those areas. So you see a massive drop-off in when millennials are getting married. They marry later. They're highly educated. They're mobile. They have massive debts, so a lot of them are living at home. And the other thing is work turnover. There's a term among millennials that's called boss shopping. And it refers to the fact that a millennial, if they don't like their boss, they will quit and they'll go find somebody else or some other company. In the baby baby boomer generation and the Gen X, people tended to stay at the companies, and they would put up with harassment, or they would put up with difficult management styles and difficult situations. They would just, because they were interested in getting ahead and getting that paycheck. A millennial, on the other hand, knows, since they're connected to everybody in the world, that they don't have to do that. There are other options, and they're convinced how smart they are, they can get a better job. So if the boss, they have the highest turnover rate of any of the generations. And so they will shop for a boss. They'll quit at the drop of a dime, and they'll find another company, or they'll just go, create an internet company and put you out of business. But they're very, very creative.
Pat, a question just came in. How do you combat the lack of loyalty to employers among millennials?
Good question. They are less loyal, and what engages the millennial is a challenge and interesting and innovative. So employers need to figure out ways to make the business environment challenging and interesting. And one of the ways to do that is to challenge the millennial to rewrite your job description or make it more interesting or more innovative, to ask them what their best ideas are. I encourage companies to, if they're selling into this space, to hire some millennials and turn them loose to say, listen, take a look at what we're doing. How would you improve it? How would you make it better? When the millennials are actually engaged in a company and they're accomplishing their goals and making those things happen, they turn into some of the most loyal employees you will ever see, because they realize the value of working in a company that values them. And so it kind of works both ways that way. Okay, millennial profile. One other thing that's not on this list, there's a term called nomophobia. If you haven't heard it, you can look it up. It stands for being out of mobile phone contact. In other words, no cell phone coverage. Millennials, universally, they have one or two or three different cell phones, and they are avidly connected, and they're researching and looking and texting and phone calling and looking up the weather and whatever they're doing, a million things you can do with the cell phone. So the term nomophobia refers to the fact of being out of contact. And so one of the things with a profile is millennials are about 40% at any point in time, about 30 to 40% in cyberspace. They are actually in the internet world doing things. And so if you suddenly disconnect them from that world, they have withdrawal symptoms, and that's what nomophobia is. So it's important to know when you're working with millennials and also designing your culture and your sales plan.
That's very
okay.
Helpful.
All right. Technology and culture. Millennials, they lived through the 9/11 terrorist attack. We watched it. They lived through it. They lived through Columbine, global unrest, all the wars in the Middle East. They've lived through a period of tremendous cultural unrest, and it's still going on now. And so their culture is all over the map. And so the unifying themes, you take a look at how are their ideas being shaped? Well, like most of us, a lot of their ideas are shaped by the media. The other thing, a lot of their ideas are shaped by Hollywood, and also a lot of their ideas are shaped by professors, university professors. And the rightly or wrongly, the ideas that are shaped by those three major influencers are generally pretty liberal. And a matter of fact, there was a survey that was done of Harvard professors. They asked them, not this election, but the previous one, they asked them, and they got, I don't know how they got this information, but they actually have it confirmed that 99% of the Harvard professors voted Democratic in that election. And so you have your kids, your children going to universities, and this is a trend that's pervasive across all the universities, ultra-liberal. And so if they happen to have conservative viewpoints, they tend to be shouted down, and so they go silent. And so it's interesting how the technology and culture shapes how people believe. If you take a look at the election trends for last year, the millennials were overwhelmingly for Bernie Sanders. Well, you take a look at Bernie Sanders, he was advocating ideas that had been shaped by the millennials, by the professors and the professors and the Hollywood producers that were shaping these ideas. So they were very much for universal health care, and they were very much for let's forgive all the student debts, and they were very much for all of the issues. And Bernie Sanders did an excellent job. He is an avowed socialist. He did an excellent job of collecting all of those themes together and running a pretty darn good campaign. But he appealed to the culture that they believed in. The other thing, the other section, is technology. Millennials are very, very technology adept. If you want to know anything about technology, talk to a millennial and they'll figure it out and they'll explain it to you. Hopefully they won't make you feel stupid, because things, to millennials, since they grew up with technology, things seem to be pretty simple to them that tend to be complex for older folks. They're always connected. They're used to the instant access to information. If you are speaking, here's an eerie thing. I've had the experience of speaking to an audience, and everything that I was saying was being fact-checked simultaneously with my talking. And I was being asked questions by people that were Googling information as I was speaking. Anytime that you're sitting down with a millennial, you better know that they already know who you are, what company you were with, the groups that you belong to, who your friends are. They already know your background. And they can do that instantly while you're speaking. And so it's the technology, the use of technology is absolutely staggering. They all have iPhones. They're all Amazon, Google. They share photos, video, music, all of these. So the technology and culture really shapes this generation, and it makes it interesting for you when you're putting together your sales plan. Okay, marketing. Marketing is absolutely critical when you're selling to millennials. The reason is because they're used to very quick, fast, visually oriented messages. You must have a strong brand. And if it doesn't communicate quickly, uniquely, innovatively, and interesting, if it doesn't come across like that, they're not going to be paying attention. So you must have value. Short burst, think Twitter. I think Twitter is 128 characters. So, and Twitter, I'm assured by some of my millennial friends, that's old. There's other things now that they're doing that are even more advanced than Twitter. You take a look at Snapchat, which is pictures. Pictures can, and they're only on invisible for 5 seconds unless you ask about them and want them to stick around. And so marketing messages must be really fast, and they must be visually intense. Now, there's a line here that talks about multiple and simultaneous campaigns. For years, salespeople have worried about stalking their customers. The idea was, well, I left them a message yesterday, so I can't call them back again today because they'll think I'm harassing them or I'm stalking them, or I can't send an email yet today because I just talked to them yesterday. All of those ideas are just so old, they just throw them out. Multiple and simultaneously messaging. The reason why is because of the information overload. If you communicate, if you're trying to get in a meeting with an executive and you're using all these methods and it's not just face-to-face or at networking, if you're trying to get a meeting, call them on the phone, leave a voicemail, send them an email, do a text, do a LinkedIn connect, all of these things, and they can all be done simultaneously. What you're hoping is that one of these communication channels is going to get through. The rest of them will just be ignored. So from the executive's standpoint, they don't perceive that you're trying to stalk them or harass them because only one of your messages went through. So marketing needs to be very bursty, needs to be simultaneous, and needs to break through the information overload in order to become visible. And so marketing is critical to success in sales. And it's never been more visible than now. I tell my clients, I say, you should never have a marketing meeting without sales present, and vice versa. And this is quite different from 20 years ago, where marketing and sales were in different stovepipes. Marketing would come up with plans and campaigns, and sometimes they would tell sales, sometimes not. But salespeople would be out there, and all of a sudden people are calling in response to a marketing campaign, and they didn't know about it. And vice versa, salespeople would be selling things, and the marketing people wouldn't know what's going on. So that all is out the window. You absolutely have to link them together. And here's why. Take a look at this sales ladder. It's called Precision Selling 2.0. That's one of my books is called Precision Selling, and this is an upgrade to that. But if you take a look at the sales ladder, and this is basically your sales process, and I put it in a ladder because if you don't do some of these steps, you're liable to fall off the ladder. But if you take a look at what's highlighted there, lead, qualified opportunity, needs opportunity, typically speaking, in a sales process, up until the millennials, these steps would need to be followed. We'd need to find out where our lead sources were. We would qualify them. We would ask them questions. We would connect with them. Then we would meet with them and explain a little bit about our company and find out what their problems and issues and challenges were. We'd find out where their pain was. And then we would connect our unique value to their pain and we move forward. Well, that's still relevant to a lot of people that we're talking to, primarily the Gen Xers and the baby boomers, that process. However, millennials have pretty much usurped those steps. The internet, what it does is it disintermediates. It basically takes away the connection or the barriers between somebody and between the buyer and the seller. And in this case, the millennials, if they want to find out about, say, a mortgage company, or they want to find out about a travel company, or they want to find out about where's the best place to buy a book, right? They will take to the internet and they'll research it. And they'll drill down and they'll, based upon their research, they will find the top three choices that they would like to look at. And then they'll research those companies and who the key players are, and they will do their research. So what they do is when they decide to buy something, they go out and they do a large part of the selling process before they even meet with you. So when you sit down to meet with a millennial buyer or somebody that's in a company that you're calling on that has been heavily influenced by the millennials, they've already done the research. You're already on their short list. What they're looking for is, what are you going to do that's unique over and above everybody else? Why should I do business with you versus everybody else? Now, that is a common question that salespeople have always looked at. But what you need to realize is that if it's a millennial, they've already got 80% of the answer. And you cannot tell them something that conflicts with their research because all of a sudden you've lost your credibility. So the sales ladder has been turned upside down by millennials, and you need to understand that.
So, Pat, should... So I would imagine everybody that's attending today or listening to this from an association or down the road, but right now everyone should be looking at their 2017 sales plans and update them to focus on selling across generations, particularly millennials, and really focus in on this?
Oh, absolutely. My clients are all right now into the 2017 sales process, and if you've got somebody in sales that can do that, that's great. If not, you might want to consider, looking at a consulting company or another firm. But somebody needs to be responsible for the sales plan. And what I've done, what I'm doing now with my clients, which is unique, is I'm looking at the different generations. So I used to have a section called target marketing. Now I'm looking at target marketing. What type of sale, B2B, B2C, I'm looking at each of the generations, and I'm coming up with branded messages and strategies that appeal to each generation. So it's important for your product or your service to understand who are the decision makers that you're selling to and what is their age. And if they are Gen X, okay, who in their organization is influencing them? Probably millennials. In other words, your strategy needs to appeal across the generations, and your sales plans need to reflect that. So it's very important to have a plan written for 2017, but make sure you understand all the generations and how do we really capture business with each of those generations for maximum impact.
So that could be a real differentiator. If five people are calling on whoever it is and they're doing a generic pitch versus the organization that has a targeted pitch truly towards their target audience, that's going to make a big difference, I would think.
Oh, it makes a huge difference. Huge difference. If you're talking to if you're speaking and you've got the best speech in the world and it's designed for business people between the age of 30 and 35, 30 and 40, and you take that same speech and you try and deliver it to high schoolers, it's not going to appeal at all. In the same way, your message, even though it's the same value proposition and selling proposition, it needs to be put into different words. One of the interesting things is baby boomers, that's my generation, still enjoy printed. So I have a client that actually comes up with innovative marketing packages and printed pieces to send to their target market. They happen to be selling hearing aids, right? And so they're selling packages. They are mailing out Postal Service packages to companies, but they know in their target market, the target market that they're dealing with likes that, likes to get things in the mail, will open things in the mail, and will read them. Okay? That works in that strategy. But that strategy would not work in a million years if your buyers are millennials. You follow? So good strategy, selling the same thing, but you need to understand your target market and change your tactics in order to really connect with that target market and the age of your target market.
Very important. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, we got one more slide here. This is basically the key concepts that I cover whenever I'm giving this speech. These are the key things that you need to keep in mind when you're selling to millennials. It must be strong, simple, and compelling. So your branding messages must really resonate, and they must connect with the millennials. Very simple. They must absolutely be able to find you online. So if you don't have an absolutely top-notch website and a LinkedIn profile, I have one client that all she does is LinkedIn profiles, and they are award-winning. I mean, they're just wonderful profiles. And so your LinkedIn profile needs to really sing. Your Facebook messaging, your texting, all of this needs to be really top-notch. My recommendation is hire a millennial to do it for you because they know what they're reading. They know what they're looking at. They know how to make it zip. And so they will find you online. Remember that the millennial target market, they will go and research you, and they will find their top three. Okay? This is what when I say they won't buy what you're selling, millennials don't like the word sell. And if you do anything that looks like you're trying to sell them, they will turn you off. However, they will find what attracts them, and they will be attracted to your value. And when they reach out, they will buy. So it's almost a reverse. We used to go out and knock on doors and sell things. Now the millennials, they're knocking on the doors to find you, and they will find you. And once they find you, then you can start the sales process. So they will find you online, and they will already narrow you down to your top three. So your marketing and your business development must ensure that we reach the top three shortlist. You must become very good at cross-generation selling. If you have salespeople in your organization that are millennials, they need to be cross-trained on how to speak to Gen X and how to get meetings with baby boomers. And if your organization is loaded with Gen X, then they really need to understand how to get to see millennials. Again, depending upon your target market, it's all this cross-generational stuff. It's almost translating from one generation to another to make it effective. The other thing is you must align with their values. Keep in mind the millennials are very, very connected with the world. They're very oriented around fairness, tolerance, diversity, all of those great concepts, those are things that they really resonate for. You know, I have a niece that she's in the Peace Corps now. Well, in years past, she was a top graduate. She would have gone to Wall Street, right? Well, kids right now are not going to Wall Street. They're going off on missions. They're going off on charitable things. They're going to develop the next generation of software that's going to save the world. So they have different values than, generally speaking, than the Gen X and the baby boomers. Selling strategy, try it out for free and then upsell it. This works fantastically. It's always worked. But you take a look at the Salesforce automation tool, the leading Salesforce automation tools like Salesforce.com, you can try that out for free. There's a free version. And once you try it out for free, if you like it, then you upgrade it. Well, it's basically, that's a selling strategy that really works with millennials because you can try it out for free over the computer, over your cell phone, and if you like it, then you upgrade it. And by the way, it runs really well on a cell phone. So try it out for free and then just upgrade it. And what happens is the holy grail is you get auto billing. So if you're signing up for something and you like it, they go, okay, we'll just bill you $10 a month. And a lot of times people don't pay attention to that. But here you are, you auto bill. You know, that's $120 a year that you're paying for that. So your strategy, if you make it easy for them to try it out and capture their mind share and their commitment, then they'll sign up for the paid version. Not only that, they'll give you a recommendation and endorsement for all of their other friends. And guess what? Now you can start making it viral or tribal. References and testimonials are very important to millennials. They will, before they'll buy from you, they will check with a whole bunch of people that they're connected with. They'll put it out onto Facebook. They'll say, what do you think of this company? They'll research you. They'll Snapchat it. They'll whatever they're going to do, they will find out about you. And if there's negative press about you or your company, you really have to get that corrected. There's several companies out there that provide great services in reputation management. Reputation management is they will go in and they will correct the misperceptions about your company that exist on the Internet. If somebody has a whole bunch of ratings that are negative from Yelp, how do you get those cleaned off? If you're getting negative ratings, broadcast on Facebook or LinkedIn, how do you clean those off? Well, there's companies that do that. So it's very important not only to have strong references and testimonials, but also to take care of your good name. And by the way, references and testimonials, remember these are millennials. They need to be video-based. They need to be action-oriented. They need to be short, sound-bited. But finally, a theme that I've talked about for years, since my first book, Stop Selling So Hard, Let Them Buy. I actually had a chapter in my first book. It was Stop Selling, Shut Up, and Listen. But I took the shut up out because I guess that was politically incorrect. The bottom line is if you're not listening to your clientele, you're not going to be successful. So rather than pushing them away with hard sell, you absolutely have to start listening. And so that's pretty much the wrap-up. Those are the key concepts with precision selling. And if you turn these messages directly into your target market with millennials, you will suddenly start finding some fantastic results. Because guess what? We say they won't buy what you're selling, but they sure... if you stop trying to sell it so hard, they will find you, and then they will buy.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, you brought up a very good point, Pat, also about, let's say, Glassdoor. It's very transparent when somebody posts something about your organization and need to clean that up if someone's posted something with negative
right.
connotation to it. And so if anybody wants to contact Pat regarding any of the topics today that were covered or about the organizations that help clean up messaging, Pat's contact information is on your screen. What we're going to do is close down this section of the program in just a second, and then we're going to open the line up in case anyone has direct questions for Pat. You'll see on the screen you can sign up for our next program, which is using social media for recruiting, 5 Key Points. That will take place in January. And I want to thank Pat for being on Open Line and providing some very valuable information. And just remember, for your 2017 sales plan, look at it through the eyes of the various generations, as Pat brought up. So, Pat, thank you again. Everyone, please hold the line. We're going to turn the recording feature off, and we'll be right back. So please stand by.